Kate, please, can you open up on Psalm 15? We're going to read Psalm 15 together as a church. Psalm 15. Are we ready to read? Children, look up. I know you can read. School age kids, you can read. So we're all going to read together. One, two, go. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Praise the Lord. Whoever does those things will not be moved. Will not be shaken in Jesus' name. Amen. Will stand firm. I'll encourage us all. Actually, both adults and kids, I'll encourage us all, to read that passage again. It says, whoever does those things will not be shaken. For me, that psalm, I actually love that psalm. And I love Psalm 24 because for me, it speaks totally about integrity. It speaks about integrity. Last week, Sunday, I tried to encourage folks to put questions together if they have any questions, that we were going to have a kind of like a discussion series and we're going to start today. I didn't get any questions, but I want us to do something today. We're going to talk about truth and lies. Because how many people remember when we, during Sunday school, that we were talking about lies, and there's some interesting questions that some people were raising? Anyone remember? Okay. So I thought it's, we need to, when we come for service, it's all well and good that we come to fellowship and worship the Lord. But we need to be more of a community. We need to be more engaged. We need to be more interactive. All our services shouldn't just be, I've come this Sunday, I've ticked the box. I've marked the register for this week. See you next week. And then next week we come because I'm coming to mark the register in service again. See you next week. I know that we say it a lot, that Sunday services are not times to, that you can ask questions and do that, come midweek services, but sometimes we should ask questions. We should have that opportunity to interact and engage more. And by God's grace, it's something we'll start doing, even if it's once a month. But we'll start doing that, and God will help us in Jesus' name. If you don't have any questions, I'll ask questions. Is that all right? I said that integrity is an integral aspect of spiritual maturity, and so is truth. Is lying instinctive, or do we learn to lie? Is lying, is it instinctive, or is it something that we learn? What do we think? Is it something that nobody teaches, or is it something that we practice? And guys, be real. Sorry, is the second mic? Bless you, blessing. That doesn't mean you won't answer my question. Huh? So is lying instinctive? Okay, you want
to... We learn to lie.
We learn to lie.
In here.
Okay. Sir.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If you read the book of Psalm 58.
Psalm 58.
Yes. Verse 3. It says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies.
So from your perspective, according to that stuff, folks are born
to lie. It is an instinct in them that they are born with.
Human nature. So by the very nature of the flesh, you know. How many people have you seen being taught, you know what, this is what you do. The easiest way to know is look at little children. Some little children do certain things and you wonder, how on earth did they know that? Who taught them? Actually, I believe that it is both. I believe, you know, lying is both instinctive by our nature. The human nature, we're born, as we just read, to lie. The devil is the father of lies. But then, you know, some people graduate from simple lies to they have master's degrees in lying, and their lying is so complex. We talk about habits. You see how someone will tell one lie? And then, in order to deal with that, the only way you can, there's a saying that liars have to have good memory. Because you go from one lie, and then you think, okay, I've said this lie. Now, so as not to be caught out, I'll now say another lie. And then you have to keep, and you keep going and on and on and on and on. Lying is both instinctive and it is learned. No one teaches a child to lie. But it's a choice we make, and it's a choice that is cultivated over time. It's a very strong habit, but it's a habit that can be broken. Praise the Lord. I remember when I've shared this before, when I was in secondary school, I think I couldn't have been more than 13, 14. And I decided, I was like, I'm not going to lie again. As in, consciously decided. I said, I'm not going to lie again. And I made the mistake of telling my friends. So, because I said, I'm not going to lie again, that, you know, I'll stick by my word. People now started trying me. You know, I kick him, I punch him, or he punches me. Naturally, I'll punch back. And then they'll say, okay, give me your word that you won't do it. And I'm like, okay, I give you my word. So they know I won't do it according to what I've told them. But it was difficult. It was a challenge. It was a challenge. I thank God for his grace. You know, we can do without lying. One of the things I love about Psalm 15 that we read, it says that man speaks the truth to his own hurt. That means in spite of anything, I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to say what is right, even though it might affect me negatively, even though it might have a bad impact. Even though folks might look at me and think, this guy's lost it. Even though those that don't understand my God might think he's just foolish. Because when we stand by our word, when we tell the truth, it's going to happen. Praise the Lord. The devil is not our father. He's the father of lies. Praise the Lord. Why do people lie? And I like to get contributions. Why do people lie? Why do people lie? Why do we think people lie? So, to save face, okay? To save face.
For the sake of having a job. Because in Nigeria, in the banking sector, if you are above maybe 25, they will not employ you. So a lot of people reduce their age just to get a job.
Wow, just to get a job, people lie. I had a friend that we graduated together. This guy was the first person in, okay, was the third person in like a 40-year period to get a first class in my department. I did say 40 years. In like a 40-year period, he was the third person to get a first-class degree. He was 26. He couldn't get a job. We applied for work. That country, God will help that country. Let's keep praying for that country. How on earth would you say if you're older than 25, you cannot apply for a job? But people do all sorts. And this guy was straight A. First class degree. 40 years. Only two other people could do it. It's not that the course was so difficult. But lecturers, those that understand the system know what I'm talking about. 40 years, third person to get a first class degree. Only to be told that he's 26, he can't get the job. But people lie because they want to get jobs. They lie to save face. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
So even because it's become a habit. So even when there's no reason to lie, some people still lie.
Force of habit. Force of habit. So even if it's not necessary, they'll still do it. Any other thoughts? Sir.
Praise the Lord. The fear of what may befall them.
Fear of what may befall them. That sounds like something I wrote here. I said, fear of being caught out. You know, we talk about FOMO, fear of missing out. I call this one FOBCO. You know, we don't want to get caught out on certain things. Because of that fear, we feel, okay, let's say a lie. Because of what people might say, because of what people might think. Yes, ma'am.
People lie out of pride because they're afraid to admit who they are. They just want to, the ego, you know, just out of pride, really.
Ego. Pride. Okay. Any other thoughts? Yes, ma'am.
I guess linked to that would be validation and seeking to be accepted by people.
Sorry?
Validation. Seeking to be accepted by people, just linked to what she said.
Okay, so people lie so that they'll be accepted, so that those around them will validate them. Yes? For me, that says a lot, because then it talks about the company you're keeping. First and foremost, you need to know yourself. If you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, which company are you keeping? Because if you have to lie to be validated by those around you, then that will suggest that you're in the wrong company. You're keeping the wrong company. You're mixing the wrong people. Can two walk together if they don't agree? So if all your friends, if you have to tell lies, if you have to hide the truth, if you have to augment the truth, you know everything is a lie. Whether you're augmenting it, you're slightly shaping it, you're bending it. If you have to do that so that friends, so that colleagues will validate you, so that colleagues and friends will say, oh, yeah, you're the man. Put it there. If it takes lying to get that, then you're in the wrong place. Then you're in the wrong company. Praise the Lord. There's so many reasons. Greed. I want more, I want more. It's, again, that validation, sense of belonging, need to belong. But like we said, if you're lying because you feel that I have to lie so that I can be a part of this group, then maybe that's not the group you ought to be in. If you're hiding your true self, and I think it's important for us to know our true selves. If you're hiding your true self, then that's not where you ought to be. You know, I thought about the great example, and I thought about this guy, Gehazi. You know, one thing, like we said, one thing leads to another. So we read in 2 Kings 5:20. We all remember the story of Naaman, the leper. So this guy came, an army general, came to Elisha. All right, they said that, you know, your God can heal. Heal me. Elisha says, you know what? Go into the river, the dirty river Jordan. Very dirty what? Okay, I won't tell stories today. But, you know, very dirty water. Say, go, you know, go wash yourself in that river. And he thought to himself, like, man, you know, in that dirty water. There are better waters in, you know, Syria. Why can't I go there? Anyway, long and short, he was encouraged, do it. He did it. Cleansed himself. And he was made whole. Leprosy gone. Elisha did not collect a dime from this guy. 1 Kings 5:20 says, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha. Okay, I'll read from here. It says, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, look, my master has spared Naaman, this Syrian, while not receiving from his hands what he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him. As the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him. Was he the one that did the healing? No. So what was his business? Greed. Greed. Okay, so he runs after him, tells some lies to the Syrian soldier, general. Oh, you know what? My master has just had some visitors. He says I should get some raiment to, you know, as a gift for them. Verse 25 says, when he went in and stood before his master, I'm reading from the NIV, Elisha asked, where have you been, Gehazi? Now, you see how actions lead to lies. Because he couldn't tell the truth, he couldn't say, this is where I've been. What did he say? He said, your servant didn't go anywhere. Praise the Lord. Again, I think I made some very interesting decisions as a teenager. As a teenager, I remember the political environment. Something happened, and there was some politician that was caught out not having, you know, the requisite qualification. You know, when you talk about skeletons in the cupboard. And there and then, I said to myself that, you know what? Because you don't know what the future is going to hold, you need to start working right now to make sure that in the future, nobody will look at your past and say that there's some skeletons in your cupboard. That was a decision I made as a teenager. That, you know, do the right thing now so that down the line, nobody is going to come and say, hey, we've checked into your past and there's some, you know, iffy things. We're reading in the news about a governor in the U.S. that, you know, took some pictures. Way back. As a medical student then, his yearbook, the picture, one, somebody was dressed as a KKK. The other person had was a painted black face. We all know KKK, right? Ku Klux Klan. Now, white governor with a picture of a KKK person and a person with a painted face, racism. He would not have thought that years down the line, somebody is going to go looking, even to go and dig into the yearbook. How many of us have looked at our yearbook since we left school? Okay, some of us, your schools didn't do yearbooks, so your pardon if your school didn't do yearbook. But for those of you that, you know, your schools had yearbook, even you yourself, have you ever looked back at it? Probably not. And then some people will go and dig up these things. Elisha said to him, "Was not my spirit with you when the man got down from his chariot to meet you? Is this the time to take money or accept clothes or olives, olive groves and vineyards or flocks and herds or male and female slaves?" God sees all. So even if we think we can hide the truth from your pastor, from your ministers, you can hide the truth. But the Holy Spirit sees what you're doing. Lies. The one that I find really scary is in the New Testament. You know, the testament of grace and God understands. Yet you look at Ananias and Sapphira. Scary. Acts chapter 5, we'll just read the first five or six verses. It says, "Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife, Sapphira, also sold a piece of property." I want to belong. I want to do what everybody else is doing. "With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet." Then Peter said, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not just lied, you have not lied just to human beings, but to God." The guy, he had the land, he sold it. He could have done whatever he wanted with the money. But he decided to keep part of it. Sorry, guys, do you know that there was nothing wrong with him keeping part of the money? Do we all know that? It was his property. He sold his property. If he had said, "I'm going to give 10p, fine. If he had said, "I'm going to give 50p, fine. If he had said, "I'm going to give everything," fine. What was wrong wasn't that he kept part, but that he lied about doing that. Hey, Peter wouldn't have taken a gun to his head and said, "Hey, why did you decide to keep part of it?" That wouldn't have happened. Lying. It seems so simple. But the consequences are dire. Some consequences immediately. I mean, in that instance, it says, "When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died immediately." This wasn't a delayed judgment. What did he do? He lied. And he fell down and died. Okay, we might say that's an extreme, but nonetheless, it happened. It happened in the dispensation of grace. Guys, is there anything like white lies? No. Is there anything like good lies? No. A lie is a lie at the end of the day. Now it sounds like I'm preaching. What do you guys think? No, what do you think? Addy? Sorry? Can you use the mic?
Sorry, I was going to ask that question, that we've been real in terms of, is there a time where a lie is acceptable? And I was going to cite the instance of when the king of Egypt said the midwife should kill all the male children being born. And you know, they said that they feared the Lord. And so when the king of Egypt asked why that wasn't done, they lied and said that the Hebrew women, they delivered really quickly before they got there, but that was not the case. So that point where it says they feared the Lord, hence the lie to the king. So is there a time where lie is sort of, or you're in a place of work and then because your boss doesn't like a particular person and you're in charge of, maybe you're in HR and they say you should write a letter and you fire that person. So if you're put in a situation where you ask to do something that isn't fair, is it okay to lie? I know the quick answer, but we've been real.
Being real, I was asked to do exactly what you just said. Exactly what you just said. Well, not to fire the person, but I was asked to write a letter and send to a colleague that was absent without official leave. And I read this letter and I was like, there's no way I'm going to put my name to this letter. I redrafted the letter. I sent it back to HR. That's what I'm going to say, that this letter is way too harsh. In the name of being compassionate, it actually seemed as if they were looking for a reason, you know. But I was like, I'm not going to send that letter. I redrafted it, sent it back to them, that this is the letter I'm going to send. Is it okay with them? They're like, yes, that, fine. Integrity is, there's no substitute. I'm not sure if Brother David remembers preaching this message. There was when we talked about, you know, suffering for Christ. And as a Christian, you go through certain things because you're a Christian that will hurt. But are you doing the right thing by God? Suffering for Christ is not, yeah, I'm being manipulative, and then I'm suffering. If I stand by God, and because of my faith, people decide to cheat me or to deal with me in a way that is not so pleasant, then that is suffering for Christ. And Christ sees that. God sees that. There's no way around it. I thought about that question myself, that will God ask us to lie? No. I even thought about this. You remember when God told Samuel to go and anoint David as king? And Samuel was like, wow, if I go, what, you know, I think it's in 2 Samuel. No, it's in 1 Samuel 16, but we're not going to read it. 1 Samuel 16, 1 to 5. It was like, what if I go and Saul sees me? He's going to kill me. And God said to him, you know what? Take an animal. If he asks you, what are you going to do? Say you're going to offer a sacrifice. But you know he did offer the sacrifice. That wasn't the primary reason. But there was a reason in the event that, wow, hands are now going up. Praise the Lord. But yeah, so God will not put us in a place where we'll be forced to lie. He will not put you in a place where you'll be forced to lie. In the case of Samuel, he didn't. There was a justifiable get-out clause. And he did. If I say something, I will do it. That is integrity. Yes, ma'am.
Praise the Lord. You know, when each time I'm thinking about this lie issue, you know, Ananias, Sapphira, and all, when you go back to the Old Testament, Rahab is another story, you know, I want to bring. I know she wasn't a believer at the time, but she's seen and heard all God had done. But she lied to save, you know. So where do we put that?
You said she wasn't a believer, but she lied to save. But she lied. And she wasn't a believer.
I think that there's something about dispensations here. and how God dealt in different dispensations. Because every time we're able to find examples where people lied, in quote, think about it, it's in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, what's the example that we have? Ananias and Sapphira. So I think that there's some times that you would tell the truth, and like Psalms 15 said, it would be to your hurt. Because you tell the truth, you would get in trouble. Because you tell the truth, you would have to suffer.
And but that's
what suffering for Christ is all about. Now, if I don't want to suffer, then I'm going to be looking for that lie that's going to get me out of there. But is God applauding? Is God happy? I don't think so. So I think all those examples, Rahab and all that, they're all in the Old Testament. I'm like, give me some examples in the New Testament when maybe Paul lied for good, or Timothy said a lie or two to get out of somewhere. So I think that we should also recognize that there are different dispensations.
Sir.
I was just going to say that, looking at my life, when I don't want to say the truth, I don't use the example of Samuel. I just, either change topics, don't answer, or try to avoid the situation. Okay. But at the beginning of this year, when we talked about completing him, the scripture that we read said that says the truth in his heart. So for me, I'm thinking that me not saying the truth, it's still wrong. I'm not saying this to everybody. I'm praying for the grace of God to say the truth that is in my heart, because I've noticed that I don't say the truth in my heart. I don't lie. But God is saying to me this year that I need to say the truth in my heart.
So this subtle deceptions coming. I'll explain. Because I don't want to lie, I refrain from saying certain things. But by refraining from saying certain things, I give a wrong impression. Saying the truth in my heart. So it's deceptive. Because by keeping quiet, I kind of mislead people and make them think, actually, this is right or this is okay. That verse talks about saying the truth, in his heart. I remember, who was it? Abraham, when he lied about Sarah. Remind me of the names. Abimelech, he said, in the integrity of my heart, I had acted. God is not looking at what everyone says. God is looking at what is. And God said, because I saw what's in your heart, that's why you're not dead. That's why you're still here. That's why I'm giving you that opportunity to redress the issue. So give the man back his wife. He said, the integrity of my heart. Praise the Lord. God will help us. We can only scratch the surface of this topic. But what are we saying? We need to be a people of integrity. And I pray that even as we go through this month, that will be our watch for that. No matter what, come what may, we'll be folks that God will look at and say, yes, I trust this man, I trust this woman, I trust this boy, I trust this girl, that when they open their mouth, the things they say will be the things that I will support. Praise God. Shall we pray? And just say a word of prayer for yourself this morning. Just, you know where you're at in your walk with God. That Psalm 15 we read, can you boldly say that, yes, this is me. Are you speaking the truth openly, but in your heart, you're still lying? Pray that as you go into this new one, that the Lord will help you. That he will help me, that he will help us as a church to be a people of integrity. that our yes will be yes. That when we say no, we will mean no. When we say yes, we mean yes. That we'll not walk in deception. We'll not deceive others. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.